Awesome. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. And for those of you who are with us for the first time, I just want to echo what John said earlier. Hopefully you've made yourself right at home. Right now we're kind of in the middle of a conversation called Purpose. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at this question, what on earth am I here for? And if you haven't been able to be with us for the past few weeks, I just want to take a second to kind of catch you up a little bit in that when we began this conversation, we began thinking that this was going to be about God's plan for us. And so we started and we said, what on earth am I here for? Okay, God, what is your plan for me? But as we've continued this conversation, we've realized that that's the wrong question. We've realized that you're not here on accident and then God came up with a plan for you. God doesn't come up with a plan for your life. What we realize is that God has a plan and therefore came up with your life. And that your life is created as part of this plan, as created as part of this purpose that God is laying out in front of us. And so what we've been doing for the last few weeks then is examining what then is God's plan, what is God's purpose in this, and how do our lives fit into that? And the dream throughout this series is found in Acts 13:36. It's this incredible description of David. It said, for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. And our dream in this series, our dream in this conversation is that we would come to the point where that would be said of us as well. That we didn't live out our plan, but that we served God's purpose in our generation. And so we've been looking at what that means and what is his plan? What is his purpose? How can we be a part of that? And from the very beginning, we've realized that this, at the very core of God's purpose, is this thing called family. And so Ephesians 1:5 tells us that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That from the very beginning, this has been about family. And at the end, the goal, this is going to be about family. And so for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be a part of that family, how we live as part of that family, how we love as part of that family, how we serve as part of that family. And today is kind of our final conversation in this series. Next week is going to be stories of lives that have been changed as we've been walking through this for the last 6 weeks. So this is kind of our last conversation about what it actually means to live out God's plan and God's purpose in our generation. And as we do that, I want to, for the next few minutes, just talk a little bit about one last thing about this family that I think that you need to understand if you're going to be able to live for God's purpose, if you're going to be able to live out your place in this plan. And so the last thing that you need to understand about this family is that this family is a little bit abnormal. Now, I mean, obviously we know that to some degree because you're a part of it. But beyond that, there are some things about this family that are extremely unique. The one that I want to draw your attention to today is that this entire family outside of one person is composed of people who have been adopted. It's kind of a strange deal. The entire family that God is bringing together outside of one, Jesus Christ is God's son. He's the one who has the rightful place inside of this family. Outside of that, every single person who's a part of this family has been adopted. None of us belong. I want to read you two passages that explain this to us. Galatians 4:4-7 says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. It's talking about how God sent Jesus Christ to give his life for you, to buy you back so that you could be adopted, to pay the price for everything that you've done to hurt those around you, to pay the price for everything you've done to hurt God so that you could be adopted. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Romans 8, 15 through 17 says this, says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." The unique thing about this family is that it's a family of adoptees. We are all adoptees. If you're going to be a part of this family, you have to be adopted. No one belongs. Which is why, you know, when you read through this book and you see how God is communicating to us about this family, this is why it makes no sense that you would have a judgmental Christian. This is why it makes no sense that you would have a proud Christian. Why? Because you're not brought into the family because you earned your way in. You're not brought into the family. You're not adopted because you're good enough. It says he sent his son to pay the price so that you could be adopted. You're not born into this. You're not baptized into this. You're not. This is about being adopted. None of us belong. Pride has no place in the life of a Christian. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't get here. I didn't earn my way here. He came for me. Condemnation, looking down on those around you, has no place. Entitlement has no place in this. You have no right to be a part of this family. No one does. There are no insiders. Every single person who's a part of this family is there by the grace of God. The scriptures tell us that our relationship and our place before God is by faith, through grace, not of works. Doesn't have anything to do with me. I've just been adopted because of what Jesus Christ did. You see, that's the crazy thing about this family. If you think that you've earned your way into this family, if you think that you're good enough to be a part of this family, if you think you deserve to be a part of this family, you can't be part of this family. That's the crazy thing about heaven. If you think, man, I deserve to be in heaven. I'm good enough to be in heaven. No. That's not how it works. If you think you deserve to be in heaven, you're not going to be in heaven. That's not how it works. It's about adoption. It's a bunch of people who don't belong. But this unbelievable Father has stepped into our lives, and in the midst of an incredibly bad situation with no hope that we're going to talk about in just a little bit, has pulled us into his family. It's a family of misfits. It's a bunch of people who understand, I'm not good enough. And without him, I got nothing. We're adopted. There are a few things you need to understand about this adoption if you're going to be able to understand how it impacts and influences your purpose in this conversation that we have. The first thing you need to understand about your adoption is that your adoption is costly. Adoption's always costly. You try to adopt a kid today, you're going to find out adoption is costly. The same thing is true for God. When God moves into your life to adopt you, it cost him dearly. This is what we read at the beginning of that passage in Galatians chapter 4. It says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us." Your adoption cost him his son. And God understood that if he was going to adopt you, it meant that he was going to have to destroy the one he loved most. It meant that he was going to have to turn his back on the one he had never, ever forsaken. It meant he was going to have to watch his son go through unbearable pain. Adoption is costly. And make no mistake, as God is preparing the way for you to be a part of his family, as God is moving for you to be adopted into this family, it cost him. The second thing you need to understand is that it was planned and strategic. Again, going back to this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family. If you accept this, that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, listen to me. This is not something that just happened on a whim. God planned this. This isn't something that happened because, man, just things didn't work out the way we thought. No, God planned your adoption. And from the moment he brought you into this plan, he has been working for that adoption. You were created at this moment and this time to be adopted. His plan is just in his strategic. Number three, it took place in a bad situation. Ephesians 2:12 says this. It says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. What he's saying is you didn't have Christ, and not only that, you weren't even a part of the nation of Israel, so you really didn't have anything to hang on to. You were living without God and without hope. And the truth is, that's true for every single one of us. You see, you're not born into this. You're born into without God and without hope. Adoptions need to take place when something goes wrong, when the situation goes wrong, in bad circumstances. The same thing is true for you. And so in the midst of this situation where we were without God and without hope, when we had nowhere to go and nowhere to turn and no way of ever paying for or making up for what we've done to the people around us, the way that we've hurt those around us, the way that we've walked away from God, the way that we've lived for ourselves, he came for us so that you could be adopted. And then number four, it was life-changing. Listen to the end of that passage again in Romans chapter 8, 17. It says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. You see, when you step into this adoption, you step into something more beautiful than you could possibly imagine. One of the things that gives me so much trouble as I read through God's word is that God's word tells us that we are brothers and sisters with Christ. That is crazy to me. And this passage tells us that we share in the inheritance of Christ. That's crazy. But what you realize on this journey is that when you walk away from, man, I'm good enough, and you embrace this idea that he's come to adopt you, not only do you begin to experience immediately his presence in your life, but as you walk down this road, you begin to understand that he really is the father you always wished you had. He really is the father who's consistently moving you in a direction where you're experiencing more and more of his joy and his love and his peace, these things that your heart desires. These things that you've been searching for in all these different places, you begin to find them in him. It's life-changing. Completely and totally life-changing. And for some of you, as you come to this point, and the truth is we're going to talk about this a little bit more later on, but for some of you, as you come to this point today, it's time for you to make a decision to be adopted. It's time for you to step out of this wrestling match that you're in with God. And I know that one of the things I talk about all the time is the fact that there are so many people who are here with us who are wrestling through whether or not they're going to trust God. It's time for you to say yes and to accept the fact that this happened for you, that he loves you like this. And for some of you, it's time today for you to be adopted. to realize you don't belong, but none of us did. And he still came for you. For others of you, because one of the things that I think is a little bit misunderstood is I talk a lot about, almost every week I talk about the fact that there are those who are here with us this morning who don't yet know God, who aren't yet experiencing this relationship with God. And I think in our minds we think, well, that's the person who says, I don't know if I really trust God. I don't know if God is actually real. But I want to be clear about something. I'm not just talking about that person. I'm also talking about those who are here who think that you've been born into this. I'm also talking about those of you who are here who are wrapped up in religion and you think that your relationship with God is based upon how good you are. It doesn't work that way. And if you keep living that way, you are not part of this family. You are not going to experience what he has for you. This relationship begins when you give up on that idea and you acknowledge and accept the fact that I'm not going to make it on my own. I'm not going to be good enough. I need someone to save me. And for some of you, you're here and you've been in that place and you need to acknowledge the fact that you need to be adopted. You need to acknowledge the fact that, man, you needed someone to die for you because you're not good enough. You need to give up on the entitlement that you feel about this family because it's not the way it works. It's by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any of us boast. And for some of you, as we wrap up this conversation, it's time for you to make that decision. And to actually find out what it means to be a part of this family that we've been talking about. To actually find out what it means to have your life begin to change. To finally find what you've been looking for in all these other places, whether it be over here or whether it be in religion. To accept that God is who he says he is inside of this book. Because it will change you. And when you realize how you've been adopted, when you realize these things that he went through for you, when you realize that he came for you and brought you into this family, and not only is it going to change how you experience him and how you experience this family, but it is going to change the mission for which you live your life. It is going to change how you look at your role inside of this plan and inside of this family. Because when you understand that you're adopted, you want nothing more than to see other people adopted. The way that we talk about this here at Hoboken Grace usually is that we say found people find people. When you understand that you've been adopted, man, you begin to live your life, man, if giving everything to see more people adopted, for other people to be able to find what you found. For them to be able to realize it's not about being good enough anymore. It's about what Jesus Christ did for you. And I've got this incredible news that I want to share with you. It's going to change your life. And God is not who you thought he is. And God is a God of love. And you begin to move in the world around you to see others adopted. You see, this is the other thing about this family. This family doesn't just exist to be able to love each other. This family doesn't just exist to be able to love the world around you. This family exists to grow, to see more people become a part of this family. This family has a mission. This family is constantly moving forward, constantly growing. And when you understand how God's loved you, and remember that throughout this entire conversation, everything is based upon our experience of his love, right? When you understand how God has loved you and how he's adopted you, it begins to move you into the lives of the people around you with this mission for them to be able to experience that as well. And if you're going to live out your place in this plan, it means that you're going to take this message of adoption to the world around you, to anyone and everyone that you can, in any way that you can. Why? Because you realize that's what this is all about. And as we look at this idea of purpose, this is the final step to where we join with those around us and we begin to live on this mission to share this message with anyone and everyone that we can. But there are a couple things that I want to let you know about that before you get into it, because there are a couple things that you need to realize about this mission if you're going to live it out. There are a couple things you need to know before you get involved in this. Because if you begin to live this mission, you're going to find out very, very quickly that, number one, it's costly. And not only was it costly for God as Jesus Christ went to that cross, but it's going to be costly for you as well. It's going to cost you your time. Because in order for you to help the world around you realize that God is actually a God of love, it's going to mean that they experience you loving them. The world is not going to believe that God loves them if you don't care. You are his representatives. We are, as his family, his representatives. And it's going to take our time because love takes time. It's going to take our resources. Why? Because love requires resources. And pouring into those around us. It's going to be costly. It's going to cost you, in some circumstances, your reputation. I mean, let's just be honest. As soon as you walk into your workplace and you start talking about God, there are going to be some interesting conversations happening behind your back. Right? I mean, and that first time you have a conversation with your coworker about, man, look at what God's doing in my life, and you stand there like, oh, man. I got to work with this dude. Right? I get this as a pastor all the time. Right now, Anna and I are looking for where we're going to live next inside the city, and so we are having conversations with different real estate agents. It's always interesting when the conversation comes up about what I do. And it always does come up at some point in the conversations. They'll say, what do you do? I'm a pastor here in Hoboken. Right? Like, okay, well, don't know if I really want to work with this guy. No, it happens all the time. I remember I was out a couple months ago golfing with a friend of mine, John, here at Hoboken Grace, and I know when I go out golfing that at some point the people who are with us are going to ask me what I do. I try to wait as long as possible to be able to tell them, because then they'll curse and apologize to me, and I'm like, I don't care. But it always happens, and then it becomes awkward, but that's going to happen to you at your job, right? Let's be honest about it. It's going to cost you a little bit there, and a lot of that is because God has been misrepresented by people who are more interested in talking than they were in loving. A lot of that is because of the fact that God has been misrepresented by people who thought it's about earning your way in, and they've looked down on the people around them. And this mission that we're on is about changing that as well. But it's going to be costly. I mean, look at what he says. Even in this passage, he points that out. And so in Romans 8:17, he says, in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Guess what? Sometimes it's going to be hard. The second thing that we need to understand is it must be planned and strategic. I'll have a conversation with people and they'll say, man, you know what? I'm gonna reach my campus for Christ. Okay, who's first? It needs to be planned and strategic. One of the things that we do routinely here at Hoboken Grace is that we'll hand out Invest and Invite cards, and it's just a card where you just write down the name of three people that you're trying to introduce to the love of Christ. It doesn't start by, man, I'm going to change everyone. No, it starts with, I'm going to impact and love this person. And so as you look at this and you say, okay, how do I be a part of this mission? The question is, okay, who are you going to impact? How are you going to love them? And then what are you going to share with them? Which usually scares people because they're like, I don't know what to share with my friends. I don't know what to share with my coworkers. And I tell them, just share your story. To be a witness is to share what you've seen or experienced. Who were you? How have you come in contact with God? How has God impacted and changed your life? And how are you different? It's really those three questions. Who I was, this is how God's changed my life, and this is who I am now. It's that simple. And I always tell them, if your life isn't different, then don't tell them. It's that simple, but it has to be planned and it has to be strategic. It has to be that you say, you know what? No, for the next however long I'm in this apartment, my goal is to be able to share the love of Christ with my roommate. And I'm going to pour my life into that person. I'm going to pour my time and my resources into that person. If you're going to be a part of this, it has to be planned and strategic. The next thing is that it's not always going to be safe and comfortable. You see, God didn't wait for you to come to Him. He moved into your ugly situation. It's not always going to be safe and comfortable. And that means sometimes you're going to have to get dirty. You have to go to them. I tell, you know, our people here at Hoboken Grace all the time that you need to be involved in parties. I had a conversation with someone a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about planting a church, and I asked him, I said, well, how many parties do you go to a week? He's like, what? Parties. Fun, hang out. How many do you go to a week? And he's like, oh, I said, how about a month? How many go to a month? Maybe one. I remember when we first got started here at Hoboken Grace, Anna and I, and we went to as many parties as we possibly could. Why? Because they're not going to come to us. We got to go to them. And I'll tell you, I mean, I've been at parties before where fights break out and I'm like, what in the world am I doing? I've been at parties before where it's just broke my heart. One party I was at, there's this girl outside posing naked for the guys who were part of this party. Just ripped my heart out. We got to go to them. You got to be willing to get dirty. You got to be willing to walk into situations where, you know what, maybe it's not as safe. But that's what it means. You see, adoption doesn't take place in clean, nice environments. It takes place in bad circumstances. But what you'll find, and number four, is that it will be life-changing. It will be life-changing for you, and it'll be life-changing for them. Because they're going to find what you've found. They're going to find out what it means to be adopted. But beyond that, it is going to change you in ways you could not possibly imagine. The first time you sit down with someone, and you're involved in a conversation, when they give their life to Christ, it changes you. Because at that moment, you realize on a whole new level that you don't deserve this. You don't deserve to be part of this. You don't deserve to be a part of this family. At that moment, you understand to a greater extent your own adoption. It changes you. I had the opportunity to be a part of that just a couple weeks ago with someone. And every single time it happens for me, it changes me. It's life-changing. This is what it means to be a part of this adoption process. And when you look at this plan that you've been created to be part of, in that, you were created to live with this mission of sharing his message of adoption and seeing more and more people brought into this family. And so when we look at this idea of purpose, what on earth am I here for? We look at his plan and his purpose and how we get to be a part of that. You look back over the past couple of weeks and what we've talked through, the fact that, you were created to be loved by God and then to love him back. The way the scriptures say this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to be loved by him and then to respond to him, this idea of worship. And then as we continued from there, we saw that as part of loving him, we love his family, this idea of fellowship or connection. And then as you continue to move forward, you realize that if you're going to do that, you must become like Jesus Christ, this idea of growth, growing more and more and more like him. And as you understand what that means, you become a servant. You understand my role in this is to serve. I am a servant so that I can take this message to the world, so that I can share with anyone who will listen in any way that I possibly can what God's done for them. When we talk about living on purpose, I'm talking about from this day forward, moving into the life ahead of you and making the decisions that you make based upon how it best helps you to live this out. And so when you look at the job that you're going to choose, when you look at, it really doesn't matter what it is in your life, when you look at the job that you're going to choose, okay, is this job, which job in front of me helps me to best live out God's plan and God's purpose? And undoubtedly after the service, every time I say this, undoubtedly someone will come up to me after the service and say, well, then wouldn't we all be pastors? No. Number one, you wouldn't be good at it. But seriously, that's not anything about me. I would be terrible at what you do too. But God's created us in all sorts of different ways with all sorts of different skill sets so that we can be engaged with all sorts of different people in different places to be able to share this message. It doesn't mean that we would all be pastors. It means that you would look at the skills and the gifts that God's given you and you would look at where you can work with those skills and, okay, which job is going to help me to best love his family? Which job is going to help me to become like Christ? Which job is going to help me? And the interesting thing about to become like Christ is that sometimes the worst bosses are the ones that help you become like Christ, because you have to force yourself to love in situations where it's not easy to love. And how can I, which one's going to help me to best be a servant? Which one is going to help me to best communicate this message to the world around me? It's great if you work with a lot of Christians, but is this job really going to help you to communicate the message to the world? Why? Because that's why I'm here. And the decision isn't made based upon the house or the money. It's made based on his plan, based on his purpose. And to live on purpose is to move into those decisions and to say, okay, which one helps me to best live this out? It can be something as big as a job, as small as a vacation, cars, all these things. It's just a constant purpose. It goes right down to, who am I going to spend my life with? This is the question that I am asked all the time. Our church is pretty young, so I get this question a lot. Who am I going to, you know, how do I know who to spend my life with? You know what it comes down to? It comes down to purpose. Who's going to help you to best understand how God's loved you? Who's going to help you to best love him? Who's going to help you to best sacrifice what you deserve to be able to love his family? Who's going to help you to become more like Christ? Who's going to help you understand that your role and your position in this world is to be a servant? Who's going to engage with you to share the world around you who Jesus Christ is? That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for someone who's the best looking or has the best attitude. You want a good attitude. That's not what I meant to say. You're not looking for someone who's the best looking, the best car, can provide the best for you. That's not what you're looking for. Who helps me live out his purpose? That's what we're here for. And you say, well, if I wait for that, I'm going to die alone. Okay, the goal and the dream isn't for you to get married. The goal and the dream isn't for you to have a relationship. The goal and the dream isn't the job or the house or the car or any of those things. The dream is that we would live out God's purpose in our generation. You say, I'm not willing to give that up. Okay. But let's call it what it is. Are you willing to follow or not? You see, being a follower of Jesus Christ is about following Christ. Whose purpose are you going to live for? Is it going to be yours or is it going to be his? You see, today needs to be a moment where we draw a line in the sand. And we look at our lives and we say, okay, wait a second. Whose purpose am I actually living for? And if you're not willing to live for his, believe me, I understand. We understand and we love the fact that there are those with us who are following and wrestling with this, and we want you to be a part of this and wrestle through this with us. But for some of you, you've been calling yourself a Christian for a very long time, but you're not. Because the truth is, it's still about your purpose. And if you say, I'm not willing to give those things up, I've still got my gods, I've still got my idols, okay, fine. But just don't call yourself a follower of Christ. Let's just be honest about it. Today needs to be a moment where we say, okay, what are we going to do? Where am I? What am I going to live for? This doesn't have to do with what's behind you. Oh, this doesn't. God has paid for everything that's behind you, every decision that you've made, every moment that you've said, God, I love you, and then you went and served every other god. Jesus Christ died for that. This doesn't have anything to do with what's behind you. You can accept and receive his forgiveness today. This has to do with what's in front of you. And so today, here's the deal. Whose purpose are you going to live for? As you move into this week, as you move forward in your life, whose purpose for some of you, you've been wrestling with this idea of God for a long time, and it's just time to stop. Just trust him. Just trust him. It's time for you to step over that line and to give up all the meaninglessness you've been living for and discover the family. For others of you, man, you've been trusting religion for a long time, and you're miserable. You're not even happy. It's not delivering anything that it's promised. And you need to confront the fact today that you haven't actually been following Christ. You've been doing great things, but you haven't been listening to him because he's been telling you to stop trying and accept the fact that he's loved you. Stop arguing about whether you're good enough and just say, okay, I need to be saved. And then for others of you, you've been calling yourself a Christian for a very long time. But the truth is, you worship other gods. And the truth is, you haven't been willing to follow. And it's time to step over that line and to stop saying, God, I'll follow, but. God, I'll follow when. I'll follow, but. And to say, I'll follow. And to move from meaninglessness to purpose. It's time to step over that line. In a few minutes, we're going to have a celebration of individuals who've stepped over that line, who said, okay, God, I'm going to live for your plan and your purpose. I'm in. And they're not saying they're not going to struggle. I'm not talking about not struggling. All of us are going to continue to struggle. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and you guys know what I mean, those moments where we decide, no, I'm going to live for my purpose and not his purpose. I know what God wants, but I'm just saying flat out, no. I'm holding on to this. And they're saying, okay, I'm not holding on anymore. I'm going to follow. And here's the deal. Some of you need to make that decision. And the invitation to you today is to be baptized, to step across that line, to believe him that he sent his son to give his life for you so that you could be adopted, to believe him about that, and to come and be baptized. And I'm not going to do a prayer for you to be able to pray and then go out of here, because here's the deal. The Bible throughout the book of Acts says, believe and be baptized, believe and be baptized, believe and be baptized, right? So here's the thing. First thing God wants you to do, if you're going to believe him, is to be baptized. You don't start the relationship with God by saying later. You don't start the relationship with God by saying maybe. You don't start the relationship with God by saying, I got to think about it. You say, I don't understand it. I don't even know what it means. God's going to ask you to do a lot of things that don't necessarily make sense to you. The question that you're asking is, are you going to follow or not? And for some of you, it's time to follow. To say yes and let that be it. Yes, God. Yes. If that's you, we're about to watch a story. During that story, I encourage you to get up and move to the back door. Rachel's going to be right there by that back door. And you can go back there and say, I need to say yes. I'd like to be baptized. And you can be a part of this today. Whose purpose are you going to live for?